Hello, and welcome back to Sit Podcast. My name is Maya. This is the podcast about living life spiritually. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Sit Podcast. Happy to have you here. I am with Avery Kopp today. She is the maker of Reed and Rush. She's a silversmith in Arizona, and I'm so happy to have her. Hi, Avery.
Hi. So good to see you too, instead of just chatting through Instagram.
I know. Yeah, that's like my life, but it's better to see people.
I know. Like this. I can't tell you how many times at Marcus, people are like, oh my God, it's you. And I'm like, it's me.
Yeah. You're real. It's amazing. Yeah.
What can I do for you?
So Avery and I know each other personally. We've known each other for years now. I'm not sure how many, but like 5, 6, 7, something like that. I don't know. Yeah. And she lives in Arizona where I used to live, and she has been going through this amazing journey that I've gotten to witness. And so I wanted to have her on today to just share a little bit of her journey in her creative work and work in general, because I think it's really relatable to a lot of people listening. So Avery, I'll kind of hand it over to you if you want to give the people a little a little intro overview of what your journey has been.
Okay, so I now own a small jewelry business that I've been doing full time. It'll be 2 years in May. It's crazy. But before that, I worked in corporate retail for 9 years for a big box retail store. And I did that happily for a long time. I'm big into team and development, so it was a really exciting outlet for me. I love leadership stuff. But then about 8 years ago, oh my gosh, 8 years ago now, I placed a custom order for a friend's birthday, and I picked it up from a silversmith named Jay McCormick. He is very well known in my hometown. And I went to pick it up, and I was asking a lot of questions because I'm very curious. And he invited me to come work with him. And at this point in my life, I had never made art. Like, I don't make music. I don't paint. I don't write. I don't really do any of that stuff. So I really graciously declined. And then a few days later, I just like looked at myself and I was like, bitch, if someone invites you to go make art in his like mountain sanctuary, like you go. So I gave him a call and he was like, awesome. He's a really cool guy. He lives out in like built this cabin by hand. It's in this very like foresty part of Northern Arizona. And the first moment I sat down and hammered a stamp into a piece of metal, I was like, oh, this is 100% for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that was going to look like. But it was just, it felt like coming home. It was like, unlike anything I've ever felt. So yeah. So I started seeing him probably once or twice a month, and just like I'd go out and he'd be like, today we're going to make a ring. And I'm like, great. And we would do all the things. And he was like a tough teacher. I used to call him sensei, 'cause he reminded me of the guy from, the Karate Kid. Yeah. He'd be like, that's awesome. Do it again, but better. And I was like, I'm just here for a hobby. And he's like, I don't care. Like, if you're going to make it, it's going to be made well, regardless of what it actually looks like, if that makes sense. But like, the quality is going to be there for day one. So, so we did that for a while. It was so much fun. Like, there were these joyful moments. One time he had to like snowmobile me in and out from the cabin. And I was like, what is my life? Like, and I was going through a lot personally too. Like, I had left a long-term relationship and I was kind of on this journey to like discover my joy again. And, so eventually I bought a house and just put a studio in the house. And then, pretty shortly after that, people started asking to buy my work, which was bizarre and really fun at that time. Like, I was just making the wildest stuff, like with unicorns on it. It was great. But then I had my first show and I sold out, like, in a tiny little coffee shop, and just like dozens of people showed up. They kept the shop open longer, like just for me, because people kept showing up. And it was just incredible. And you know, putting your art out there is terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like really exposing a part of your soul. Mm. And I cared a lot more then than I do now about what people thought about my work. But whatever I made, it was authentically me. And I put it out there and people really loved it. So I did it part-time. I was doing like maybe one or two collections a year. And then in the spring of 2021, it just became very apparent that it was time for me to do this full time. So I left my corporate job and took the plunge.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. That's such a, you know, idealistic story. I think everybody just wishes they would like stumble across some artistic guy in the woods that invites them into his inner circle.
Like a fairy tale.
And he already had this, you know, great following of people, and to be able to be his apprentice, that's such an awesome, awesome opportunity. Like that was just, it sounds so guided, right? Like it's almost like you didn't choose the journey. The journey chose you. That's really,
it was my first real foray into understanding the power of saying yes and like to not being afraid of things, because he was like, listen, no one has to see this. No one has to see your work. You can just come out here. We can hang out. We would like talk about music and politics. He's a wonderful guy. And we just had a blast and we got to be really close friends. And it was just that, it was one of my first real moments of saying yes to something I wanted to do for myself without external pressure. And people thought it was kind of cheesy. They're like, oh, you're a silver, you know, you're a silversmith, you know, like, but I didn't care. It was just for me. And I would make stuff for myself and I would make stuff for, you know, my family. And then eventually it became very real. So,
No, that's awesome. And that's, you know, that's how it should start out, as it should be for you. Otherwise it's not an authentic expression, right? And then it can grow into something that, you know, has a life of its own, but starting it for yourself is super important. And just the courage that it takes to like do that first stamp and then to make your first full piece and then to put it somewhere and to sell it and to wear it and all of those are all really big pieces of courage. And now to, you know, have that be your full-time job and your passion, that's really awesome. So I would like to know, for people listening who are maybe like just at the place where you were before you left your job, or even like a little bit before that, and they feel the rumblings of it happening, could you walk us through a little bit of like, before you left your corporate retail job, what was happening internally that was like signaling you to make that transition? How was that showing up for you, and how were you resisting it? How were you listening to it? And what did that actually end up looking like in the transition of quitting?
Well, it actually started about a year before I left. So I was 35. I turned 35. I had never sought any kind of mental health like help at all, because I've lived an incredibly charmed life. I really have. I'm super lucky. I have great friends and family, and I've been very financially fortunate through a lot of hard work, but also a lot of privilege. And I decided I'd see a therapist because my best friend had one. And I turned, like I said, I turned 35, and I, you know, I was like, we do 90,000 mile checkups on our car. Like, let's pop the hood. And I thought I was such a badass that the therapist was going to be like, you're perfect, gold star. So I was like looking for the validation, right? Yeah. That I was like this bad bitch. Oh boy, that is not how it went. I basically learned that I was being held up by like willpower and ego. Like those were the two things keeping me functioning and moving forward. And through just, and I love my therapist. She is incredible. And the thing that she does best, and in my experience is like the most helpful, is she just asks these really hard questions. And she knew I was tough and I could answer them. And she also knew that no one was asking me them, because that's I think the really cool transactional part of therapy. Like I love my therapist and she's a wonderful human, but she is also paid to help me become the healthiest, happiest version of myself as I manifest it to be. Not what anybody else thinks what I should be, not what she thinks I should be. She helps me find what I need to be by my own design, which is just so powerful. So I started therapy. And you just can't go back after you realize how asleep you've been.
Yeah.
And like, before I started, I considered myself a very self-aware, a very like base-giving, empathetic person. And I am deeply empathetic, but I have a lot of things that were, I had put in to protect me from how empathetic I was and to function within a workspace that doesn't really, corporations oftentimes, and I've only worked for one, so I can't speak for all of them. They really want you to be a good listener. And they want you to be just creative enough and just innovative enough and just strategic enough to execute their plan well, or maybe just a little bit better than what they wanted you to do. And what happened is through therapy, I started unblocking all these personal channels that I set up, because early on in my career, I had realized how painful it is to express like my full expression of myself, because that's not what they want. They don't want that.
Yeah.
There are so many people that just don't realize that they're just participating in the download and that it's all fake. Mm-hmm. 401ks and salaries are a lie. Like,
yeah,
I had such a scarcity mindset when I had a salary, because there was nothing I could do to make more money within mm-hmm. the system I was operating in, apart from do more than I was being paid to do. That was the only way to earn more money. And it wasn't instant. It was over time. So like, I barely enjoyed my money that I was, and I was making a lot of money, but I barely enjoyed it because I was so scared something was going to happen and I wasn't going to be able to earn more in a short amount of time. Yeah. Like, I make half as much as I do now, mm-hmm. but if I'm like freaking out about how much money I'm making, I take classes, I make jewelry, I sign up for markets. Like, there are all these other things that I can do. But I actually got injured. I woke up in January of 2021 and I couldn't walk. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally came downstairs and laid on the floor. It was in the middle of this big snowstorm and I couldn't walk. Like, I would scream in pain if I tried to move. My parents had to come pick me up. I had to go to the emergency room. And there was, after my mom delivered the paperwork to my boss saying that I just gotten out of the ED and they told me I wasn't allowed to move for 10 days. He never called me. Mm. He never checked in. There was no reaction. There was nothing. I was like, am I fired? Like, I had never missed a day of work. I was a model employee. I always went above and beyond. And I was like, I can't even get like a text to make sure I'm alive. And during that time, I really started to look around at the people that were leading me. And a lot of them were like deeply unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no relationship with their kids, or they had gone through 3 divorces, or they had been hospitalized twice because of stress. And like, listen, that is their path. And I have no judgment for the way that they're seeking. Maybe that's how they know to provide for their families. Maybe that is their download and that's what they think they have to do. But it was my place to make a choice for myself and say, like, this is not the life that I want anymore. Mm-hmm. And then also, connection through art is just, it is unlike anything else. Like, it is sharing a part of yourself and making quality things that last like a lifetime versus selling something that is, the price tag is mainly photography and shipping and marketing and branding and labeling. That is the vast majority of what you pay for with items from companies like that in general. And you pay very little for the labor for the person who built the garment and the actual materials.
Yes.
Like, that is such a small percentage. So that's a really long answer, but it all got wrapped up into me just kind of having one of those moments where I had done all the work. Like, I don't know if you've ever talked about this, but it never feels like you're moving forward until you reach the next point and you're like, oh, literally all of the work
that I've done. That's so true. Yes.
Doing the work, like, and I've continued to see a therapist because like, I can't stop now. She's so wonderful. But like, it's the same process. Like, there's stuff that I work on for months and then all of a sudden it's not hard for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't realize how much work you're doing, but that's also why it's so important to do the work.
Yeah.
Because like, there's no instant gratification.
Yeah.
Like, no. It is a long process and it is fucking hard. Yeah. And you will love and hate parts of yourself in moments, and then you'll just move through it and learn how to love even parts that you don't like. Like, I don't know. So, So anyways, got all my ducks in order. I hired someone for my website. I hired someone to do my bookkeeping. I'm very like process oriented, and I just knew I hired someone for branding because like I will throw my computer before a wall before I learn how to do Illustrator. Like, it's just not my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Like, and she's an expert, right? Like, she's an expert. So I got all those things together. And I just really decided to quit. It was That's the greatest awesome. Day of my life.
Yeah.
Like, it was terrifying because I'm such a people pleaser. Good leaders know before you do
right.
when you're ready. And right. he had known. He was like, I'm shocked it took you this long. So.
Yes. Yes. You were stubborn in staying around longer than you needed to, maybe.
Well, I think like so much of what we do to keep ourselves from moving forward is rooted in shame.
Yeah.
And I was like so proud of where I was and where I had come from, but it was hard for me to leave my team.
Mm.
And it felt like I was like quitting. I was quitting, but it felt like I was quitting something that I had worked really hard for. And also, like, if you're about to enter this journey, it's so incredible, but please mourn the life you thought you were going to have in real time.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the hardest things for me. Like, for a decade, I built this life for myself and I had this plan, right? Yeah. I had this plan on what my life is going to look like. And we all know that that is just bullshit. Anyways. Yeah. Like, it's good to have a plan, but like, you have to be open to where life takes you and where you take yourself as you do the work. But I had to really sit and mourn the life that I thought I was going to have, even if I didn't want it anymore. So.
Yeah. That's super important. I think that's with any life transition, any big upheaval or, you know, death and rebirth process is the mourning in real time. You know, I had to do that with my divorce, right? Like thinking that I was going to live this whole life and then being like, oh, no, that's not anything like my life is going to look like anymore. And it's the same with, careers or even, you know, if people go into motherhood or something, right? Like there's all these different types of transition that happen. And so I think that's a really good point to be present in it because it is really tough. And sometimes when things are tough, we tend to like just put our head down and go forward full speed or, you know, try not to look around too much. But the looking around part when you're in the process is really helpful. And I think that, you know, therapy and being able to just like ground yourself a little bit, even like hiring professionals, giving yourself enough spaciousness to be able to be rooted in it so that you can look around and enjoy the moment. I don't know if you'd enjoy it, but like, you know, just take it all in, savor the moment maybe.
Yeah.
Really good. Really helpful. Awesome. And so now you're in this totally other world. In this creative, artistic world, and how have you seen yourself change in this world? Like, what has changed inside of Avery since saying yes to this new journey?
God, honestly, so much. So I would say the most important thing is that I've realized how important choice is, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, just the process of embracing the joy and like scary parts of like understanding that everything I'm doing is a choice. I will never forget the first day that I realized I can just eat whenever I want to now. Like, it sounds like such a small thing, but I used to be attached to a walkie-talkie for like 11 hours a day. I can use the bathroom whenever I want to and no one is talking to me in my earpiece. I can eat whenever I want to. The day that I realized I could have 2 cups of tea if I wanted to and no one would interrupt me. I mean, like, honestly, like the joy of that is so, it was so amazing. And those moments have just, honestly, they haven't stopped. Mm. And it's just so fun to like really understand that like my environment and my future is designed by me And that is either by actively taking a choice in my decisions or allowing other people in the download to continue to choose things for me. And that has been so powerful because, you know, when you operate in a system like that, and like, listen, I am a textbook millennial, right? Like, I'm 37. I was born in 85. I love getting treats as rewards. I love like validation. Like, I love that stuff, which is why I function so well in a corporate setting, is because I hate letting people down. And I, you know, and those little like crumbs of like approval. Oh my God, I was such a junkie for them. But the more I got into making art and like, and therapy, and also being super selective about the people I had around me, and not like good or bad. I didn't like cut anyone off because they're bad people. I've been fortunate with knowing so many good people, but like, you have such a limited amount of energy. And like, I really chose to start surrounding myself specifically with women who would provide traction and feedback and inspiration. Like, yes. I want people around me who are going to be like, that was cool, but also, did you think of this? Or like, if I get out of line, they're going to be like, hey, we need to step back and look at what we just did.
Yeah.
Like, it's not their job to make me who I am, but also like, that's the type of relationship I'm looking for. And that's, I think, honestly, part of that's just getting older too.
Right. Some discernment. Yeah.
I can't stay up past like 10 o'clock anyways. Like, but just understanding like how integral every part, like everything you do is choice. And it's so liberating and it's so scary at the same time. Because when you first make that realization, you're like, where do I start?
Yeah.
Where do I start? Like, how do I start doing these things? And then equally, like, I've always been curious and I've always been a questioner, but again, functioning in a space where that really wasn't allowed or encouraged, it kind of like dampened that part of me. It kind of shut it down a bit. Cause after a while it just hurts to ask questions because you know what the answer is going to be. And oftentimes you get answers like, we know this doesn't make sense, but you have to do it. And I'm like, I'm like, why? You just start questioning everything. And it's so fun. Like one of my mantras is, I will attract people who are attracted to the most authentic version of myself, because that's who I want in my life. And then also it reminds me, like, you have to show up as you. Right. You can't skate by on 55%. Cause I mean, frankly, I'm smart and I can get away with it. And I did for years. I got away with it because I was good at masking and I was good at understanding what people expected of me. But that in turn led me to be surrounded by people who I didn't want to be around, or who weren't healthy, or who weren't healthy for me. They might have been great on their own, but they weren't what I needed. So yeah, what else has changed? I don't know. I just am a lot more happy and super and way more healthy. Like, I sleep.
Yeah.
Which is great. Like, I've always been a good sleeper, but like, sleep is great. But like, I've gained like a little bit of weight, but for my body, it was actually like a super healthy thing. My spending has changed. I spend so much less money now because I don't constantly feel the need to justify the job that's killing me.
Yeah.
Like, and there are so many people in industries where I would never judge someone who does that. Like, one of the communities I serve often are travel nurses.
Yeah.
They are the hardest working people. And it's, you know, my clients are generally women. So I'm going to say women, but obviously I would encourage anybody who wants you to wear my jewelry. The hardest group of women, and they reward themselves in the sense of like, I want to feel beautiful during the day. I can't wear a lot of jewelry on my hands or neck, but I can wear earrings. And so they treat themselves to something that makes them feel like themselves all the time when they're doing these really hard things.
And there's something so powerful to adorning yourself. Like, that's one thing that I've really stepped into. And your jewelry, I think, is the first like nice jewelry that I ever got. Like, everything else was just like, you know, you buy it at like some shitty little store and it's not like actual metal, you know? And so your jewelry was my first foray into being like, wow, okay, I can buy something for myself. And it allows me to be more fully expressed in who I am. And it allows like the internal sparkly bits of myself to be expressed so that the rest of the world can witness it too. And it's such an underrated feeling. I think, you know, we dress certain ways or we try to show ourselves in a certain way for other people, but there's something really special about doing it for yourself and just knowing that a piece of jewelry or an item is special to you and carries a lot of meaning. So I think that that's just, you know, on the topic of your jewelry, just a really beautiful gift that you give to people.
Oh, I have gotten so many messages, and honestly, I do in-person events too. And I can't tell you how many women have contacted me and told me I was having the worst day for whatever reason, the worst day. So I put on every piece of jewelry of yours that I own. It's going to make me emotional. I love it so much. And they're like, and then I put on my favorite velvet bathrobe. And I poured myself a glass of red wine and I just like walked around my house and I'm like, yes, that is what it's for.
Yes.
It is for you. Yeah. It is like, and there's something so magical. And I think why this form of art really called to me is because I'm a deeply kinetic person and I have a big, big energy. And the idea of using all of that energy and love to physically force a stamp into a piece of silver, like you are using your energy to drive that love into another thing. People can feel it. They can feel it in their bones. Like I do so many in-person events because I can't tell you how many times I've had someone come up and they pick something up and they just like look at me and they look at the thing and they put the thing on and they're like, damn, I feel good in this thing. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I want. That connection is exactly what I want because we're all just trying to like share our energy with each other in whatever form. Like there's so much visual art out there that's moving. There's so many things that you can do. And I love making stuff. Like the whole point of my work is so people can express themselves however they want and how they want to see themselves.
It's a piece of you that they get to adorn themselves with, which is so, so cool and so special. And I think that, and it's more lasting, right? Like everybody needs to start somewhere and there's totally a place for, you know, starting wherever your budget is, wherever you are. That's super important. And, you know, if you're at the place to really support a small business and to support somebody who's living out their dream and making really like well-made products. I think that that's such an awesome thing to be able to have something that was just so handmade with so much love from another person. And yeah, all creative outlets are just such a gift to the world. It doesn't matter, you know, what it is, but if we're able to ask ourselves like, what is authentically me and how can I express that? Gosh, if we all did that, the world would be so incredible. If we could all like break out of the programming of, you know, like corporations, honestly, and just things that don't really care about us as humans and just express our own inner gifts, that would be profound. So everybody that does that, I'm like rooting for you. I'm like, yes, let's do it. It's so amazing. I love that. And it's super scary and it's not as supportive always, you know, maybe financially as other things. So I understand why people don't do it, but there's a trade-off. You get something else in exchange for the money, right? You get this freedom and this sense of self, I think. At least that's what my experience is.
Oh, totally. I mean, so you said a couple of things that really struck home for me. So like creativity and the importance of that in discovering self, in like sharing self, they're so important. And like, maybe this is a little bit of conspiracy theorist in me, but I truly believe we're existing in a world where that's being suppressed because they don't want people who question, they don't. And we can have a much larger conversation later on like who the they is.
Yes.
but just like in general, we're seeing this big movement of people and like, I'm really excited. People bitch about Gen Z all the time, but I get so stoked when I see things on like how to ask for the money associated with the tasks that you're being asked to do.
Yeah.
Like I love this empowerment stuff. You know, everyone says no one wants to work. That's not true. As someone who was like at the top of her game doing what she was doing and chose to do something else, I want to work. I freaking love working. I love making money, but like the creativity part of it, we're living in a society where so much of our structure is built around just making other people money and doing it at the cost of ourselves and like normalizing that behavior, right? Yeah. Normalizing, like one of the greatest conversations I ever had with my therapist before I left my job was about my retirement. And I was like, hey, what am I supposed to, like, how do I do this? I have a financial advisor. I can't leave my job because I'm on a salary. Like, what if I can't make that amount of money? Like, what all these other things? And her first question was, have you ever not been able to get a job? There's like, in, just in general, like I worked for Dairy Queen when I was in high school. I was a server for years. And I was like, no, I have like not gotten jobs I've wanted, but I've always been able to find work.
Yeah.
And she's like, and now I do something where I produce my own work. But she's like, okay, so we're probably not going to starve. And I was like, no. And she's like, have you ever truly failed at anything you really wanted? And I'm not saying like just once, I'm saying like over time, if you had like a big goal and you kept failing, were you eventually successful? And I was like, yes. And she's like, okay. And then we can talk about retirement, which is the whole structure is work yourself until you cannot work anymore. And then try to enjoy the years you have left after that.
It's so sick. It's like, so crazy.
When you say it like that, I mean, and this woman, I think she's in her late 60s, early 70s. And she's like, yeah, why would I retire? I help people for a living. I do it in a healthful way so that I can keep doing it. Like, and she's like, be smart. Don't just like not save and invest and all those things. But when I realized that I was literally, and then getting injured, I was literally working myself to death for, to make somebody else money. And I was making a good amount of money. I don't want to downplay that at all. I was making a lot of money, but I wasn't enjoying it because there's a huge scarcity mindset around salary, right? Like it doesn't matter how much money you're making. If you need more money immediately and you're on a salary, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Right. Because you can't generate that. You can eventually like work for promotions and stuff like that. But again, in that system, it's always like perform higher than your job description and then maybe we'll reward you with more money.
Right.
It's not like do your job really well and then we'll promote you. It's like go above and beyond and then maybe we'll consider it.
Right.
But I was in a place where I could look at my finances and be like, I'd rather make half. And that's how much I make, half as much money as I did working for that company. And I am a million times happier and healthier because everything I do is in service to furthering a happier and healthier life.
Yeah. Right. You're prioritizing yourself all the time. And you don't need as much money to do that, really. Like, that's not what makes you happy.
No. And people like demonize that behavior. Luckily, I haven't encountered that very much, but I see it like, you know, on social media and stuff, like people prioritizing themselves. I also don't have kids, which makes a lot of this a lot easier. So let's like not forget that. The only person I'm supporting are myself and my two like little shop dingoes who require food and exercise, but like, that's it. But you know, there are so many parts of that. Prioritizing yourself is not selfish. It's not a selfish act to prioritize yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's awesome. I think it's a shift that needed to happen and everybody's like, judging it, I guess, you know, nobody wants to work hard anymore. Nobody wants to do all this. It's like, no, we want to work the right amount for us. We want to enjoy our lives and we want to appreciate things and be creative. It doesn't mean that we want to like sit around all day and do nothing. It just means we don't want to do your shitty job that you, you know, take us for granted and don't treat us well and just keep, you know, the carrot far enough in front of our nose to keep chasing like that. Yeah, of course we don't want to do that. That sucks. Like you can't be surprised.
But yeah, like that manifestation of like, you have to figure out what you want and then do everything to bring it about. But you also have to ask the universe for it because like it's listening.
Yes. Yeah. That's, I have developed a strategy for manifestation. But the way that I explain it to people is it's a triangle. There's three parts. There's the visualization aspect, right? Like the energetic portion. And then there's action, obviously super important. And then there's surrender and just like releasing the expectations. And if you don't hit all of those points and continuously go back and forth between all of them, you're missing the whole point of manifestation. You need to be able to go into whichever one of those is calling the most. And so that's the process, I think, is like, how do you dream and then take action and then just trust?
Yeah. And so much of that trust is self too. Like,
yes, it totally, yeah, definitely, oh, completely.
I've become more spiritual in the last year than I ever like considered. And it's still not super spiritual, like in the way I had to like let go of what my notion of spirituality was. You know, I'm raised in a place where like we're close to Sedona, where, you know, we got vortexes. We used to ditch in high school and be like, I don't feel well, I'm gonna go heal at the vortex, like crystals and all this stuff. And like, it was a very like commercial brand of spirituality. That was what I thought of. And through a lot of reading and just like work on myself and understanding that you get to define it for yourself, just like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that you do like rituals in the morning. Mm-hmm. And like, I've started doing that too in the last year where I like meditate. I have a couple books of poetry and I'll like flip around until I find one that really calls to me in that moment. And of course, because it's the universe, it's always like the one thing I either really needed to hear and I wanted to, or that I needed to hear and I didn't want to hear.
Yes.
And I'm just like crying on my little yoga mat, like drinking my tea, not trying to terrify my boyfriend. but like those little like honoring pieces of honoring yourself and like your adventure, like they're so important. Mm-hmm. And putting things in your space that make you feel good, coming, like really embracing spirituality in the sense of like having my own rituals in the morning, surrounding my space. Like I have books all over my studio now. So if I feel stuck, I can pull a book out. A lot of them are like books of color, just like having this stuff all around. Like that is a version of spirituality, like making art. When you flow, when you're making art or exercising or doing whatever, it is like the craziest thing to experience.
Yeah.
Like I have had days where like, I just sit down and it's usually when I surrender to the process and I'm like, I'm just going to make whatever comes out. And then also that I'm a believer in a higher self.
Mm-hmm.
Your higher self will provide, like when you give yourself space, like there is a connection where, you know, I don't know if you've experienced this, but like, I will literally wake up and be like, oh shit, I got to write this down. And I'll have like ideas on things to make that just like, I don't know, in my head, and this is like a new expression for me, but like my higher self has gifted me this thing where it's like, hey girl, like coming at you.
Yes, totally. Totally. That inspiration just strikes me. Like, I don't think that I did that. Like something else did that for me. Yeah.
Or some other version of me.
Yes. Right.
Saw an opportunity to bring something in. And I love that so much. Yeah. Well, I also would like to add, like, please, if people take anything away from this, it's just like, make art.
Mm.
You don't have to show it to anybody.
Yeah.
You don't have to put it on social media. You can burn it or bury it or throw it away. I smash mine sometimes. That feels really good. Making art, I think, can be such a joyful act of rebellion.
Mm.
And we need more of that now than ever. Being vulnerable, even if it's just with yourself, is like such an important thing to do. And I have found so much joy sharing that with other people because they want to see it. Like being creative is a deeply human act and it's not encouraged often anymore, but like just make art. It doesn't matter. Doodle on your work notes. I don't care. Like get out there and just do something. But yeah. So please, if that's your takeaway,
beautiful, beautiful.
Make art. I love it. Yeah.
Yes.
And then the collection. So it's called Wild, Wild Woman, which is a song that I get inspired by the music that I listen to a lot. And being from the Southwest, there are just so many incredible women here. And I think this big resurgence that we're seeing of like women connecting with their divine feminine, people really re-engaging with their body, my journey of re-engaging with my body and actually being able to ask what it wants, like, it wants to be outside. It doesn't want to feel like it has to go outside.
Yeah.
And understanding the differences between those two things. It's just like a celebration of women and femme people, I should say, because it's not just, I don't want it to be just people who identify as women, but And also, if you're dudes and you want to wear hoop earrings, I've seen it done. They look fantastic. But an expression of the people in my community who are just these strong, resilient, capable humans. And a lot of the jewelry, like some of it's a little delicate, but my staples are like pretty solid, sturdy stuff.
Yeah.
I wear a lot of them in venturing. I've started making these hoops that like clip shut. Mm. So you can hike in them. Also, if you wear a mask often, like in healthcare, you can take them on and off, the mask on and off, and the earrings won't unclip. It's all turquoise, which is exciting. Yeah. So the collection comes out, I don't know when this is coming out, but it comes out on the 25th at 10 a.m. So yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. And I'll have all your stuff linked. If anybody's interested, anybody wants to check out Avery's stuff. It's really beautiful. It's most of my jewelry is made by her and I plan on keeping it that way and just growing my collection more and more because her stuff is always evolving. And I think it's so awesome. So all of that will be linked and you can find her on Instagram. And yeah, thank you, Avery, for joining and for talking with me today.
No, thank you so much. I had so much fun.